This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
You know, there's a lot to look forward to this weekend in the NFL playoffs, and there's a lot of really good matchups, a lot of really good storylines, too. And I think yesterday, the NFL just continues to bombard us with news with the hiring of Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay and Cliff Kingsbury, who we talked about yesterday, getting the job with the Arizona Cardinals. The Kingsbury situation is really, it's not perplexing. I totally get it, and I totally understand what Arizona is doing. But man, it was quick. It was fast. Steve Wilks gets fired after one season, an anemic offense, an offense with Josh Rosen, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, and they don't do anything. I mean, they don't show any sign of life. They're last in the league in like every category imaginable. So you can imagine if you're ownership of the Arizona Cardinals, you're Bill Bidwell, you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I need a coach that can revive this. So I got these three guys. I've got to do something with them. I got to look good. I got to have this offense putting up something. And you look at Cliff Kingsbury, and it is not about success or failure at Texas Tech. It's not going to be about that. I mean, look, he couldn't get the Red Raiders to a bowl game in the past three seasons. It led to his firing, even though he is an alum, even though he had early success there. This is not about that. This is about where this league wants to go with, as we talked about yesterday, and everyone seems to be on that same track, which is if you are in anywhere near Sean McVay, you're going to get looked at as a head coaching candidate. And this is what offense sells, offense excites, offense thrills. And I think coaches that can do that well, and coaches who can put together offensive formulas well and impress ownership groups and general managers with brilliant offensive philosophy, you're going to get hired and you're going to get looked at. We're starting to see it across the league with all sorts of offensive coordinators, either getting head coaching positions like Matt LaFleur at Green Bay or getting interviews like Eric Bieniemy, who's just been bouncing around the league interviewing for head coaching opportunities. If you've got a good offensive mind, you're going to be getting looked at now. Now, the Denver Broncos are down to two candidates. We'll talk about that as well. Bruce Arians has been hired in Tampa Bay. And Matt LaFleur, who we said yesterday, the Tennessee offensive coordinator for one season, he is now the Aaron Rodgers whisperer because he's got the job with the Green Bay Packers. We'll break all of that down coming up. Your thoughts as well, 800-777-2907, SB Nation AM.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, at least I got to hand it to him, right? Cliff Kingsbury getting the head coaching job at Arizona. Well done. Well done. November 25th, he was let go at Texas Tech in Lubbock. And he gets a job at USC as the offensive coordinator. And what, 6 weeks later? What? How long ago was that on the calendar? And now he's the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. One of 32 coaches in the NFL. One of 32 NFL coaches on the planet. And he lands the job.
See, that just shows you that Indeed.com does work.
It does work. Exactly. Post your resume today. And let the phone start ringing. Well done, Cliff Kingsbury. Well, Arizona must have just went, you know what? We're gonna get this guy. This is the guy we want. This is the guy we want to hire. You know, if we go down, we go down. But we're going down with the guy we want. So there you go. Because this was so fast.
I don't know, but is it just me or is there not a whole lot of interviewing going on?
Oh, I know.
I thought the Rooney Rule.
Me
had to be
too.
Applied.
I had to look it up this morning to see if I was missing something. I was like, I thought. Don't you have to go through the process a little bit more than this rather than fall in love and just get married at the altar like immediately, like you're in a, like some sort of Vegas showroom?
That's what it feels. I mean, it feels like everyone's going to that little white chapel.
Exactly.
Like
that's
a,
what it
you
is.
Come in, like, oh my God, you're the one, and then they, and then it's done.
Exactly. Like Arizona's starting to change their last name to King, you know, Kingsbury, right? Immediately. I mean, it's weird because Sports Illustrated had a really good breakdown of all this, how fast this was, and it just was eye opening as I was reading it this morning. I was like, this really was fast, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one that noticed it. That this was a fall in love with his offensive mind and wanting a guy just like that, right? This is where the league wants to go. This is the league where you're headed. But on the same thing, as I said at the start, I really can't blame Arizona for wanting a innovative offensive mind. They have too many offensive weapons that were rotting in Arizona this season. They were last in everything. And they had David Johnson and Josh Rosen, although a rookie quarterback, didn't show anything. And you invested a first round pick with him. And then you've got, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, who you're trying to squeeze out a little bit more production before he leaves and goes off into a retirement. You got to do something with these offensive weapons. You find a better offensive line, find a better scheme, find a better play calling, whatever you want to do. And he can come in and immediately do something. He can manipulate the offense. It may not work right away, but it might look decent. And that's probably where the attraction is. So, again, I understand where you're going, but my God, was this fast. And it may just have felt that way because you're supposed to go through a lot of interviews and you're supposed to kind of go through the process and the Rooney Rule, right? You're supposed to interview a minority candidate. And maybe they did that and we didn't know about it, but this was fast. I mean, this was really fast.
No, I mean, it was fast just because wasn't it late last week when we found out that USC blocked? I mean, it was over the weekend,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. It was over the weekend. They didn't want to allow him to interview, and now he's got a job.
And it was Tuesday.
Yes.
Taco Tuesday. By the time Taco Tuesday rolled around, he had a job.
He had a job in the National Football League.
They told him
he couldn't interview.
I wish all hiring processes took like that for everyone.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, how long did it take you to find a kick? It's like
Steve Wilks was fired on New Year's Eve, and Kingsbury's got a gig 8 days later. It's crazy. And you know what? But again, I mean, everybody's been pointing this out. We talked about this yesterday. If you stood next to Sean McVay in a line for a Big Mac, you're going to get a gig. You're going to get looked at. And this is the way everybody is. And the fact that he was the head coach, he was the coach of Patrick Mahomes, you know, probably had something to do with it too. I mean, they got Josh Rosen. They want somebody to work with them. They want somebody to turn him into an NFL quarterback. They're looking it around and they think, look, offensively, Bidwell said he asked Steve Wilks with like 2 weeks to go in the season, like, what is your plan for next year? And he didn't like it at all. And that led to the departure after 1 year. Okay, I get that. Listen, Steve Wilks, that makes me know that Steve Wilks wasn't fired because he went 3-13. He was fired because he went 3-13 and looked like he was going to go 3-13 again and again until finally something long term was going to brew. And if you're the ownership of the Arizona Cardinals, it's too long. That's not going to work. So what do? You inject the offense with some sort of steroid. And you inject it with a guy that he had his college team averaging over 40 points a game, 30 points while he was the entire time he was there, led the nation in offensive scoring and yardage and all those sort of categories. Does it work in the NFL? Who cares? At this point, you just go with it and see if it does. What do you have to lose? Your coach that you just fired gave you a game plan that was not going to grow your offense at all. I mean, they were last in, they averaged 14 points a game last season, Arizona. I mean, that's terrible with those offenses. I can understand the frustration, but boy, oh boy, 8 days later, you settled on a college football coach? I mean, that's amazing. And again, can you imagine being scared? If he is your guy, if you're sitting around an office and you start talking about guys you want, right? And somebody goes up, hey, Cliff Kingsbury, he's available. I think we can get him. I know USC's blocking him, but I think we can work something out. Oh, really? Oh, and he's also interviewing at the Jets. Oh, no. And that's what happens, right? That's what a good agent will do. A good agent doesn't get you one interview. A good agent will get you two, three, or four, because that's when the bidding starts. That's when the that's when the panic sets in. If you're starting to interview very, very well, I mean, Sean McVay, the LA Rams wanted him so badly. They didn't want him to go interview anywhere else, made him an offer really quick. They did the same thing. Arizona's doing the same thing here. Matt LaFleur, I'm telling you, living in Nashville, the Matt LaFleur hiring in Green Bay, I kid you not, nobody saw coming. And if anybody here in Nashville says they saw it coming, they're lying. Nobody saw this coming.
And that's another one that just seemed to happen abruptly.
Abruptly.
I mean, I know that.
I thought they were kidding. I thought it was a Sports Onion column when I read it.
I mean, I know Mike McCarthy's been gone for a while, and so you know, Green Bay, the head honchos at Green Bay. Because how many people do you think? That's a weird one, right? I mean, there is a front office for Green Bay. I'm not joking here. I'm trying to figure it out. There is a front office because I know it's owned by the city.
Right.
But there is a front office for Green Bay, right?
Yeah, there are people who work there.
And so they all just kind of gather around. I know they've probably been searching for the coach for a while, but that one seemed to me like just out of the blue. It was like, oh, yeah, we're going to go with this guy.
Yeah. And
again,
and
I don't remember. I mean, was the Rooney Rule? I didn't hear of any other interviews going on for them.
Yeah, I didn't either. And again, it's possible, it's probable that they did and just didn't make news or it wasn't eye popping enough. Here's another one. Here's another guy, Matt LaFleur, who had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, who worked with Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, 1 year at Tennessee. And he came to the Titans for one reason, Marcus Mariota, up him up, get him up. But the Titans, they're stagnant offensively. They were terrible offensively. 29th in passing, 25th overall in offensive production. And he gets the job because, again, it may not have worked at Tennessee, but he's a respected enough offensive guy. Then Aaron Rodgers is looking for that. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers had a lot to say in Matt LaFleur's hiring. And maybe his reputation around the league is, hey, man, this guy's a great quarterback whisperer. This guy is it may not have worked in Tennessee, but do not put his past resume to pasture because of what's one season in Nashville. That must have went on. But my God, if you can draw up some really cool plays and got a really smart offensive philosophy, that's who's getting looks. The Denver Broncos, though, may hire Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio to be their head coach. And if not, you know who their second choice is Mike Munchak, offensive line coach of the Steelers, former Tennessee Titans head coach. So they're not really going flashy offensive genius in that capacity as well. That may be because Gary Kubiak might be calling some shots next year. Who knows? But
they are taking their time.
They took their time.
I mean, it seems like to me, a lot of these teams are just making these decisions too abruptly. I mean, they're not really going through the full interview process.
Yeah, it's really been fast.
I mean, I do understand the Cliff Kingsbury one. Just because, I mean, you know, like we were saying yesterday, you're chasing Sean McVay. I mean, everybody wants a head coach like Sean McVay, you know, being innovative, being young, being successful, you know, just a new, almost a new era of coaching.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so I get the Cliff Kingsbury hire, but, you know, the Packers one, that just really surprised me. It really surprised me, too.
Because, again,
like you said, I mean, he had a cup of coffee with McVay.
Yeah. And again, there was nothing in Tennessee. It was nothing offensively in Tennessee that stood out. Like, wow, that really looked different. Wow, that really looked impressive. Wow, the offensive, it still was, outside of Derrick Henry rushing for, you know, four touchdowns and a 99-yarder against Jacksonville, there was nothing explosive about the Tennessee Titans offense that was expected in Nashville when he arrived. Now, that, again, I do not, and we talked about this again yesterday. This is not a league where if you fail at one little thing here or 1 year there, or you're a coach and you get fired, you are a part of a culture. You're part of a brotherhood. You get bounced around. Your reputation, who you are as a person, how you are as a coach, how you are dealing with that, all plays into it. So failure. And I tried to explain this to a friend of mine when he asked me about LaFleur's hiring. I said, look, nothing in Nashville, absolutely nothing. But that doesn't mean his whole resume is shot. It doesn't mean his value is not there. But again, that is, it's surprising. If you're the Packers, right? What is it that you need the most? You need Super Bowls. You need Super Bowl. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. You've got to get to the Super Bowl. This is not, I'm surprised that they were willing to roll the dice with a guy who's never been a head coach before. I'm surprised at that. Now, again, I don't know who has been a head coach that would have been available enough that could lead them to that next level. And Aaron Rodgers knows what he wants. But the reality of it is, it's not to get the Packers back on track. If you lose out on this window with Aaron Rodgers, you're going to look back, if you're a Packer fan, you're going to look back and regret what could have been. When you look at Eli Manning winning two Super Bowls and Ben Roethlisberger going to three, and for Aaron Rodgers just to have one and one title, maybe that's good enough, but it shouldn't be good enough. It shouldn't be good enough. He should have had multiple Super Bowls with the way he is built and the way he gets the Packers into the postseason, except for this season. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number to join us. You want to hear your thoughts on the coaching search for the NFL. We'll get to the previews of the playoff games coming up this weekend. Some really good storylines at that. That's coming up next. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, every day at this time, I check Ron Culver's Los Angeles Chargers temperature leading up to the playoff game against the
San Diego
Patriots.
You were right the first time.
I'll do San Diego because I really miss I miss calling him San Diego.
So why? Can they just move back? Come on.
I know.
The divorce, it hasn't been finalized.
Right? You'll get back together.
Yeah, just have that one cup of coffee with each other that you know, where you remember the good times.
Yes. And then, rekindle the love affair.
We'll work something out. We'll find a place to live together. We'll find a new place to live that doesn't have all the bad memories.
So weird. I make that mistake so much. It's terrible.
Everyone does.
I just can't do it. It's so hard.
Who had the broadcast this past weekend?
CBS.
It was Tony Romo and
Jim Nance, yeah.
And I can't remember, I don't know if it was Romo or Nance, but I mean, habitually kept saying, starting off saying San Diego, and I was like, oh, no, L.A.
It's a whole lifetime of the Tennessee Titans used to be the Houston Oilers, but because they're the Titans, I don't call them the Houston Titans,
yeah,
right? The Cleveland Browns, I don't say Baltimore Browns. They changed to the Ravens.
They changed their name.
Right? And the Houston Texans, because when I see the logo, it's the Houston Texans. It's not the Oilers. But when I see the Bolt, San Diego is just embedded into my skull. I can't get it out.
Well, just like that, we don't have any issue saying L.A. Rams.
Right. No problem. No problem with that.
I mean,
because we had that before.
They were St. Louis Rams for a while. That's obvious. But we have no issue saying L.A. Rams. And I don't think we're even going to have that problem with the Raiders.
No,
never said L.A. Raiders. You don't say Oakland Raiders. You just say the Raiders.
The Raiders, yep.
But San Diego Chargers is how you say San Diego Chargers.
So how's the temperature this morning as we get closer to game time this weekend?
God, you know what? I don't know.
Getting better?
No.
Melvin 2 weeks
Gordon
to
has a sprained knee, but he's going to play.
2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots. God, that's always deadly.
The way this thing is setting up is exactly like the AFC Championship a couple years ago when LaDainian Tomlinson was out because of a knee injury and Phillip Rivers was playing on a torn ACL.
Yeah, it was still incredible to watch. Everything he possibly could do to try to get unbeaten Patriot
team and Melvin Gordon saying I'm going to play on a sprained knee, and just you might not have that extra spring and stuff. Apparently we're getting Hunter Henry back, so that is impressive.
Oh, that'll be good. And who will like that is Stephen A. Smith.
Yes,
he will love Hunter Henry getting back.
He can actually talk.
He's
about
had him back the
now.
Whole year. You'll actually be able to mention his name and not look like a fool.
Is there a linebacker for the Patriots that's coming back this weekend as well?
Yeah, exactly. Is there a linebacker that has been missing the whole season that he thinks is still in the lineup that he can now be happy about? And he's coming back into the
game. Make our dreams come true. Make Stephen A's dreams come true is what we're saying.
Oh, completely. Completely. See, Josh McDaniels says no more interviews. He's going to stay with the Patriots.
Of course he is.
He's
the prince. He's the heir apparent.
I think Josh McDaniels, I agree. I agree completely. I think Josh McDaniels does not want to be a head coach anywhere but New England. Yes. I think he has no interest in being leaving. I don't think he left once. He tried it. You know, and in Denver, it worked out. Remember, he had the Broncos in his first year. They went 6-0 to start the season. I mean, he was on fire. He was the hottest coach in the league at the time. It was the right hire for Denver. And then, man, that Napoleon complex kicked in.
And then, boy, oh boy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, exactly. I can remember going to – I remember going to camp. Right in 2010, I remember going to Dove Valley for the first practice, and he'd been there 1 year, and I was going back, so it was his second year, and I remember looking at him going, "This is he looked like a high school kid." I kid you not, he looked like a high school kid coaching the Denver Broncos. Now, for you know, my entire time that I was in Colorado was Mike Shanahan, old man Mike Shanahan, that was running the show. This kid looked like a high school student, and he was running the Broncos, and everybody was crazy about him. I mean, crazy about him. And the Napoleon complex kicked in. He started, his power started reaching tentacles it really shouldn't have gone to. He got in a little Spygate 2 trouble in London, filming the San Francisco 49ers. It just spiraled out of control, and he ended up they departed ways with him. But I think he knows he's the guy for New England. He's wait out Belichick, and he's the guy for the Patriots. I think that's exactly where he wants to be. That's why he pulled out of the Colts last year. That's why he's not interviewing again. I don't think he wants to play that game.
I'm going to take it a step further. I think he and Brady team up together to run Belichick out of town.
That could be. I wouldn't put it past this guy.
Can we get that conspiracy going?
Let's get that. I wouldn't put it past him. McDaniels is a very, very Machiavellian guy. He really is. He knows he's like playing chess, man. He knows where he's going five moves ahead. And
then Brady.
I don't think that Colts thing was a fluke. I think he had no interest in that job. I think he interviewed it to show somebody something in New England, and I think he had no interest in going there, and I think he knows exactly what he wants out of his career.
Yeah, then I say if that was to happen and they run Belichick out of time, Brady slides into player-coach role. He becomes the quarterback
player,
coach.
Player, yeah. 47-year-old Tom Brady.
47-year-old, that's how he can keep playing.
Yeah, sitting on the sidelines with a headset, 47 years old.
And keep hawking to play his in the NFL. TB12.
That's right. Look at me, man. I'm 48. I'm 49. I'm 50, and I'm still playing in the league. God, everybody,
sit down, George Blanda.
Wolfing down the Brady. Yeah, sit down, George Blanda. If that happened, everybody will be wolfing down Brady cocktails from the TB12 menu. I mean, it would be. This guy should be on QVC hawking this thing. If that's the case, if he's 50 years old still playing in the league, there isn't a show he can't go on where you can hawk those products. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I can be 50. He doesn't have the personality or charisma to sell.
No, he doesn't. He needs somebody to do it for him.
That's what I mean. We talked about it before. He needs Peyton to sell it for him.
I have no problem selling it for him if it actually works. I'm at an age where, like, I kid you not, when I drop something, I'm like, ugh, I got to bend down and pick that thing up now. Ugh. Lean out, like I lean my legs out to bend. I don't squat down. I have to lean out to bend over to pick the thing. Oh, it's a
my
pain.
My mom everything was out aches. For a visit. My mom was out for a visit just recently, and she's always said her entire life, you know, that I was gonna, or as I was getting older, that I was gonna need glasses. And she kept saying I was gonna need glasses. And we were having this conversation. I said, you know, I still don't need glasses. And she's like, oh, you will. But then I bent down to pick something up, and I let out a groan. She's like, you may not need glasses, but you got the old man groans.
No, I know. I completely
and
do.
And I sat there. I'm like, God, did that? I didn't even realize I did that. Like you just
pin down, pick something up. So if TB12 makes me more flexible, energized, and energetic, I'm more
get
than
rid
happy
of the,
to sell
all
that.
I care about, get rid of those groans, because I didn't realize
I was
doing
that.
Yeah,
get rid of
that.
The groans.
It's upsetting to me.
Tom Brady. This is going to be a good game, though. The Chargers, I'm interested in their defensive scheme. They're not going to be able to use 7 defensive backs against the Patriots like they did against the Ravens, but the only reason they did it against the Ravens is because they were challenging speed versus speed. They don't have to do that against the Patriots.
Well, they were challenging Lamar. Lamar, if you're going to do it, do your thing. I mean, Brady, they got to have a little more respect because Brady's smart enough to, you know, manipulate, you know, do things he wants.
Brady is such a conundrum because the way teams have gotten to Brady and beaten Brady is pressure, 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 disrupt him. But you can't do that because if he sniffs that out, he beats you. And that's always been kind of the sort of backwards situations. You risk kind of sending extra guys to get to Brady to disrupt him, but then he picks you apart, and that's how they, you know, they move the ball down the field.
No, we need
and with Gronk getting some extra rest, this is, I mean, listen, I mean, the Patriots are vulnerable. Yeah, they're not, they don't look the same. There's statistically, they don't feel the same, but the reality of it is 2 weeks to prepare for a team at home in Foxborough, and they think snow is coming in the forecast. I don't know. It could be precarious for the Chargers, but we'll see. SB Nation AM.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Nap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here at SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio rolling along. I saw this story today, Ron. Did you hear about Trevor Bauer getting involved in some Twitter dispute with a Texas State student?
No.
Yeah, listen to this.
You tell
me. So I'll tell you that Trevor Bauer of the Indians was basically having a Twitter exchange with Astros Alex Bregman. And this this woman from Texas State, she likes Alex Bregman and she likes the Astros, and she kind of got in on on Twitter. And Trevor Bauer started kind of harassing her, I guess, and started sending her some tweets. And then she wrote like my new least favorite person in all of sports. And Trevor Bauer said, "Welcome to the fan club. Tell that to my 135,000 followers." And then his followers started harassing her. And she says the last 3 days, her life has been ruined. She's cried daily and she's called her family crying because she's been getting a lot of hate on social media. Social media is such a terrible place sometimes. I mean, it's just, it's nasty. But he just kept going and going and going, just harassing this young lady because she doesn't like him. She likes Alex Bregman and was having some playful banter. And Trevor Bauer, I guess, took it personally. I don't know. She's blocked him. He's blocked her. It's a social media mess. But it's not a good look because I guess when you're the problem with social media sometimes is, especially when you're a celebrity, is that you have a tendency to go kind of that, you know, you kind of go down to the fan base. And that's not always a good place to go because it's a sea of hate. It's a sea of, you know, anonymous pegging and whatnot. And when you get involved and you're making comments to people and you're responding to people commenting on you and whatnot, nothing good happens, right? I mean, you can show off and win an argument, I guess, but the reality of it is I don't want to say punching down because that doesn't sound good. Like an athlete isn't above a normal person, but it's when you're a celebrity and you have 130,000 followers or a million followers, you have more weapons in the social media game to sort of back your point and to back up yourself. And this poor, you know, this girl was just getting, you know, making some comments on Twitter involved. You know, she's a big Alex Bregman fan and she saw Alex Bregman was having fun with Trevor Bauer. She kind of got in on it and now her life has been ruined.
Yeah, my question is, what does Trevor Bauer have against the Astros? Because this is the second time he's, you know, where he's taken to social media and it's been something about the Astros. Remember, it was
earlier in the season,
commenting about how the pitchers are cheating.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Because for some reason they had an extra spin rate on the ball. I mean, it was like, it felt like it was going to become Deflategate all over again. It's like,
exactly.
Are they using a foreign substance? Are they just pitching in a weird way because they've increased the spin rate on the ball?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was targeting the Astros.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's this deal?
This girl is, you know, she's a student at Texas State. She's not, you know, she's not in the social media.
Leave the girl
alone, Trevor Bauer. Calm down. You're a baseball player, for crying out loud. What are you doing? What are you doing harassing people on Twitter? Stop it. Social media, man, brings out the worst. I don't like when people, like, kind of – whitewash social media, because I have found tremendous joy in watching sporting events and following it on Twitter. I love it. I mean, I love when I'm watching the same thing everybody else is watching and I see something and I notice on Twitter that 35 people saw the exact same thing and had the same reaction to what I did. It's cool. And you can make comments and, you know, we're all kind of in, especially a national championship game or a Super Bowl or a playoff game or a late baseball game or whatever it is. I find enjoyment in that. I enjoy adding Twitter to the thing, but there's no question. It can be a nasty place to go to. And the further down the rabbit hole you go on Twitter, the worse it usually gets. It never gets better. Like, no one on Twitter ever goes, you know, after arguing with you for the last 16 hours, I see your point and I appreciate the conversation. It doesn't usually end that way. It usually ends with more hatred and vile being thrown around.
Exactly. And then my favorite are the ones who just chime in just because.
Yeah, exactly. Or use grammar police. I was getting
grammar
into an argument.
Oh,
I was getting into a really cool Twitter discussion like a few years ago with a friend of mine about something about Colorado sports. And I used their wrong, which is usually what happens when I type. And he didn't even respond to the argument. He just said he just used the correct version of the word there they are. And I thought, "Oh, you're killing the vibe. We were having a good argument and you just destroyed it. Now I don't want to play." And
exactly.
I left. I don't want to play the game anymore.
You're taking your keyboard and going home.
Exactly. I totally did that. I took the keyboard and went home. I said, "Oh, forget it. If you're going to do grammar police on me while I'm frantically typing on my phone, right? If you just like, I mean, I'm misspelling words constantly just to strike back at you in the argument and you want to play grammar police, forget it. I'm done. We're not going to argue about this anymore."
Yeah.
It was like a coaching search debate for the Buffaloes or something silly like that. It wasn't even a worthy conversation. We were having a really good debate about it. And he goes, "Grammar police," and I quit. And I just walked away. So
yeah,
forget it.
Well, at that point, it's deflated at that. You're just like,
yeah.
I don't want to even want to play.
No,
I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly.
Because you didn't, you know what? You're choosing there, but you didn't pick up that I misspelled one.
Yeah, totally.
I used the wrong one.
Exactly.
The word for me is always R.
R, right. Yeah.
I feel like a pirate when I say it, but I mean, I always end up using the wrong one. And then I'm like, whatever.
You ever tweet out to a celebrity and have them tweet back at you? Has that ever happened? Because usually it doesn't happen to me.
Cool. I'm not that cool yet.
I actually, he's not really a celebrity, but when he was the guy who invented the video game Yar's Revenge for the Atari 2600, and he was responsible for the E.T. debacle. I watched this documentary and it was on. The Atari 2600 was on E.T., right? Because the story went, E.T. was the worst video game ever created. They rushed it too much in 1982. It was a terrible game. It was a terrible design. And they threw it in a landfill in Albuquerque or somewhere in New Mexico. And the documentary was them going to the landfill to see if this was actually true, that thousands of these E.T. cartridges were there. And sure enough, they were. A lot of them were, but it wasn't as big as people thought. But nevertheless, I tweeted him about the documentary and he like tweeted back and we had like a little conversation and I thought this was kind of neat. All right. It was kind of cool. The guy who invented the E.T. video game and I are having a little conversation about designing video games, an industry I knew nothing about. And, you know, I talk to sports athletes all the time and sometimes we talk to, you know, music celebrities and whatnot. But I actually, it was weird, Ron. I got a kick out of this guy and I having a little video game conversation.
So you got a video game celebrity.
Yeah, it was. Nice. It wasn't a big deal. Like, you know, we're not going to have, pick out curtains or anything. But it was cool.
I didn't even think of there. Right. We're taking this thing a whole new level.
I know, right? But it was neat because I used to play Yar's Revenge and he had designed that game and I had the E.T. game when I was a kid. I didn't think it was terrible when I was 10.
It was
pretty fun.
To be honest, I mean, I would love to talk to the guy who created Pitfall.
Oh, Pitfall was great.
That was my jam back in the day.
Oh, I know. Pitfall was great. Jumping on top of the crocodile heads.
Yeah.
Moving through
swinging
the thing.
From vine to vine. Come on.
Yeah, it was neat. It was kind of cool. But it was but that's only because of Twitter, right? Like, if I sent the guy an email, I doubt he would have wrote back.
Or if what's he done since Yar's Revenge?
I don't know. I didn't want to ask.
He might be lonely, Tony.
He might be completely. He might have been like that video game businessman.
In fact,
you don't even want to know how much it hurt me.
You should probably reach out to him again.
Have you ever heard of stories like that where like a writer does a Where Are They Now, you know, somebody they used to grow up admiring or something, they go, Where Are They Now? And they end up becoming really good friends with that person. Like they write about this person.
No, I thought that was just like biographers.
Yeah.
Like, if a biographer was to do, like, I mean, you know, the most recent one I just remember was, because you saw him a lot, was George Bush Sr.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, his biographer.
I guess the two of them became really good friends. And yeah. It makes sense to me. I mean, this guy's hanging out with you every single day, trying to pick your brain about everything you've done in your life.
Yeah, you got to be eventually like, you know, this guy's part of the group,
yep.
Part of the gang. But you hear that a lot. I hear that like with people who are writers will say, you know, I this old coach or this old athlete or this old movie star has been completely disappeared. I'm going to go find them. And then they find them and then this friendship blossoms and they realize, oh, my gosh, you know, a guy I admired and I kind of wondered where they were. And I went to go do a story kind of on my own fruition to go find this person. I found him. And now, you know, we're close and, you know, I'm kind of with them in the latter part of their life. It happens. It happens occasionally.
I think we should do that.
Yeah. Find somebody that find where are they now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who can we tap that has, you know, we haven't heard from in a long time?
I don't know. That's a good question. I was just thinking that who's been in our lives a lot that just disappeared, just, you know, was prominent and then just kind of went his own way. You know, they had that 30 for 30 with Buster Douglas. I had no idea what Buster Douglas was doing until I saw that.
One, yeah,
right.
That would have been a really good one.
If you had told me Buster Douglas was nowhere to be, okay, he was trading boxers.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but if you had said Buster Douglas had died.
Oh, exactly. Okay. No. Oh, if you had told me that, I would have said, I must have missed absolutely. I must have missed the story. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Until the end of that documentary, I had zero idea of what he was doing with his life or where he was. I had no idea, not even fathom. They did this with William Refrigerator Perry, too. Somebody went back and found him. Like he was in South Carolina or something and just, you know, hanging out. And
tell me what happened to him. Tell me a string of barbecue shops.
I don't know.
I need that to be a reality.
I know. William Refrigerator Perry. What a great athlete. He was a Clemson athlete too.
Well, so he's happy.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's thrilled. Nice little celebration going to go on in Clemson any day now. I'm sure that's going to be something I'm going to catch. I saw this on Twitter that the city of Cartersville, Georgia, just put up a congratulations, Trevor, billboard in the town. Boy, life is going to be good for him.
Oh, gosh.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night. I said, does he go to class or does he have to take online classes?
No, I'm sure. I mean, you have to go. You have to satisfy a certain requirement of classes just so he can remain eligible.
No. I don't mean skipping classes. I mean, does he have to take all of them online because they can't get any work
classes,
done?
His classes are not built for his future unless he chooses. I mean, he could go. I mean, it's every elective possible.
Oh, no, no doubt. I mean, I would. But, I mean, like, if you're a professor and he's in your history class, you can't get any work done. He's got to take that online. The students are going to want pictures and autographs and if just too much.
You know what? I know your professor should have integrity, but do you want to be the guy that stops him from being, you know, becoming eligible?
Oh, no. No, you don't.
I know there's a certain integrity. I mean, you know, I know they didn't take an oath, but they kind of took an oath to, you know, give, you know, to be fair and just. But if he's sitting in your class, he's like, oh, you know, we got Florida coming up this weekend, or we got, you know, whoever come, Florida State, Miami, whoever, you know, pick all the teams. I can't sit him.
I doubt Trevor Lawrence is in his uniform filling out like an AP history exam minutes before the game to get it into the system. But no, I mean, it's a serious issue now, especially with cell phones, because you have these Uber celebrities now. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is a celebrity before, but now he's on another level at Clemson. He's going back to school, and it's such a distraction when people want pictures and people want autographs and people want a piece of you, and it's just going to be too much. I mean, Johnny Manziel found this out. He had to take all of his classes online. He could not go on campus. It was too crazy. It was absolutely crazy, and it's going to be that way for this kid for the next 2-3 years while he's at school, probably the next 2 more years. 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
I was looking at the four games this weekend in the NFL, and I think if the Eagles beat the Saints, that's a legit upset. But at the other three, it doesn't really feel that way. Indianapolis and Kansas City. The Colts are the hottest team in the NFL. They've won like 10 of 11, right? And the Dallas Cowboys, I know, going up against a 13-3 team, but a 13-3 team that against good teams has struggled late in the season. I know they beat San Francisco and Arizona to close out the season and look like they were on track, but those two teams, eh. But Dallas can run the ball, and the Rams can't stop the run very well. So I'm looking at that game going, you know what? I think it's going to be closer than people think. And I think the Chargers are legitimately a better team than the Patriots.
Yes.
And so I don't think if the Chargers go to Foxborough and win that game, I don't think that's an upset at all. I think the only upset that would occur is if the Eagles, who are not the same Eagles team that won the Super Bowl last year, beat a New Orleans team at the Superdome.
Yeah, I agree totally. Because, I mean, for right now, you look at the Colts and the Chiefs, I almost trust Andrew Luck more than I do Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is a straight-up pick'em game. Listen, you don't go by the records because the Colts struggled at the beginning of the season. They are not the same team that went 1-5.
Andrew Luck was still finding his way.
Yeah.
I mean,
getting back from shoulder surgery.
What I'm hopeful for, I'm hopeful that the Colts win and the Chargers win.
Yeah, and by the way, doesn't Andy Reid's playoff record, doesn't it make you go, throw that in there? And Patrick Mahomes or no Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid's not exactly a playoff successful coach.
If the Colts win and Chargers win, we get our dream.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Why we need that. All of America, that's what you want to root for.
I want America to see the AFC title game at that little tiny soccer stadium in Los Angeles. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. I want people to react to it. I want people who haven't followed the Chargers at all, if they haven't followed the fact that they play in a soccer stadium, to suddenly realize they play in a soccer stadium. I want all of that stuff to happen. I mean, completely. Eagles, though, if they beat New Orleans, my God, start figuring out how we're all going to die, because that sounds like Armageddon
but
coming to me.
But it wouldn't be an upset for Nick Foles.
No,
not
at all.
It would be expected from Nick Foles. The rest of the team, it's an upset.
Absolutely. Not Nick Foles, though. Magic Nick Foles.